Continuing on in Ecclesiastes, chapter 8 is our text today. Let me finish reading that chapter beginning at verse 14. There is a vanity that takes place on earth, that there are righteous people to whom happens according to the deeds of the wicked, and there are wicked people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. And I said that this also is vanity. And I commend joy, for man has nothing better under the sun but to eat and drink and be joyful, for this will go with him in his toil through the days of his life that God has given him under the sun. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, how neither day nor night do one's eyes see sleep, then I saw the work of God, that man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. However much man may toil in seeking, he will not find it out. Even though a wise man claims to know, he cannot find it out. Well, the life of King David gives us an interesting study in dealing with power. He refused to lay a hand on Saul, even though David himself had been anointed king. Saul was still king, so he waited patiently for God to remove him from office. He submitted to the power that was established, to God's anointed. Now later, as king, he rises up in arrogance, he commits adultery and murder, and doesn't even seem to care. So now he possesses power, but he uses it cruelly and sinfully. Nathan the prophet comes. He speaks truth to power, as it were, accusing David of his sins. "Thou art the man," says. David again submits to power and authority of God in repentance and in restoration. So dealing with authority and power is a challenge. So let's see what counsel Qohelet can give us here in this passage this morning. Verse 1, seems to me, fits better tagged onto the end of chapter 7 than here at the beginning of chapter 8. He says, who is wise and who knows the interpretation of a thing? It seems like that better goes along with the theme of the previous chapter. But he still holds out for such a person that they could be found, and the desire for learning these things is ongoing. Now, he's convinced, it seems, of the benefits of wisdom, because he says it has an effect on people that respond well to it. It lifts up the downcast, it makes their face shine, and that sort of thing. So wisdom is a good thing. But then he shifts in verse 2 to this idea of dealing with the king. It's especially important of dealing wisely when you're dealing with a king. Remember the situation in the book of Esther. Mordecai convinced her to go to the king and plead for her people. Now, she had no confidence that she would survive that. As you know, the king in those days, if you went in uninvited, if he did not tip the censer to you, you could be executed for coming uninvited. So she didn't know. She had no invitation. So she goes with real courage, and she's accepted, and she lived. Well, Qohelet urges us to be careful when dealing with those in authority. She was careful, but yet extremely courageous. And we need to be obedient and careful of what we say and what we stand for. It seems so strange to us, doesn't it? Since we have no monarchy here, expressing displeasure about the president is commonplace in our day. You really can't turn anywhere today and not find critique of the president. But when the king was supreme, as in Qohelet's day, he says, you're not even to question what he's doing. Keep your mouth shut so it'll go well with you. Think of how threatening that was for Nathan when he went into David with that "you are the man" accusation. He's denouncing the king who really held his life in his hand. It could have meant his head, except for the fact that David loved God and had high regard for God's messengers. Well, he goes on and expounds through a short poem here on this idea of the proper dealing with the king. He says in verse 5, "Whoever keeps a command will know no evil thing, and the wise heart will know the proper time and just way." The wise man is going to know what to do. He's going into the king. He's going to know how to go about that. He'll know the proper procedures. He'll know that those who obey the king won't face evil from him. At our General Assembly every summer, the meeting is controlled by several documents. First and ultimately would be the scripture, and then in descending order under the scripture is our Book of Church Order, then a document that's called the Rules of Assembly Operation. That sounds like a good thing to read if you're an insomniac. And then, of course, Robert's Rules as far as governing how debate happens and things like that. Now, it's always good because in an assembly of that size, it's easy to get all bollocksed up in polity and don't quite know how to get out of it. But if you have a wise man that understands the Book of Order, Rules of Assembly Operation, and Robert's Rules, he can stand up and he'll know the way. He'll know what needs to be done and guide us out of that. So the wise heart will know the proper time and the just way. It's good to have that kind of person, and it's especially good to be that kind of person if you're going to talk to someone in authority. So living under authority structure in obedience with wisdom will generally make life better for you. I really wonder how many of the shootings by police would be reduced if people simply did not resist or try and flee. It would have to be significant, wouldn't it, of those who would not be shot? So we need to be wise in our dealings with everyone, but especially with those in authority. As believers, we owe our ultimate allegiance to the Lord Jesus. So when human authority is in conflict with the commands of God, well, we know what we need to do. Peter taught us that. We must obey God rather than man. And we take our lumps if we disobey the human authority in order to obey God. That's simply the way it is. But here, Qohelet's speaking in generalities, not in absolutes. He has in the previous chapter told us of his observation of the good dying young and the evil living on and on. He even mentions that later on in this chapter. But in general, if you live in obedience to the authorities, life for you will be better, especially if you have wise leaders who are attuned in some degree to the law of God. That makes for a better life for everyone. But the poem continues and expresses this sense of powerlessness in verses 6 through 9. He says, "For there is a time and a way for everything, although man's trouble lies heavy on him. For he does not know what is to be. For who can tell him how it will be? No man has power to retain the spirit or power over the day of death. There is no discharge from war,